You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 22nd July. Biden drops out. U.S. futures are green. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. The Rainet investment, that discount to NAV, around some 40%. I want to dig into that. We've seen a lot of discounts. And I mean, do they close or is it just about the underlying stock? Zach Callisto, CEO of Karooooo, strong Q1 results from them. And were they impacted by that CrowdStrike outage? Bianca Botis, Director, Citadel Global, long-term trends for the rand, if Trump wins in November. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, 5 key considerations for your offshore investment strategy. This goes beyond picking the next Nvidia or Amazon. Business Day, CrowdStrike outage affected 8.5 million Microsoft devices. Software giant says while number of the affected devices were small, broader effects of the outage were felt across the globe. Morning markets, the US was red on Friday. S&P down 0.7%, NASDAQ down 0.9%. Over in the east, it's mostly green. Sydney, a third of a percent higher. Tokyo, 1.2% lower. Hong Kong, up 0.7%. And Tencent, up strongly, 2.4%. Commodities, mostly red. Gold, the exception, 2,458. Brent, 83.10. Platinum, 975. Palladium, 9.11. Rand trading 18.24. Bitcoin trading at 68,000. And top 40 opening call, 210 points or 0.3% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. We saw Rainet, R&I, trading update on Friday. They basically really got two assets, British American Tobacco and then the Pension Insurance Corporate Group, trading at around 40% discount to net asset value. In the olden days, we would have looked at something like this and thought, that discount to NAV will close and we can make money just on that. But these days, I'm not so sure about that. Discount to net asset value seems to be the new normal.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Yeah, traditionally, they have always traded discounts. You know, holding companies is just kind of what they've done. I mean, doesn't matter whatever sort of listed jurisdiction you're in, that's what they're doing. It's for a number of reasons. I mean, first and foremost, there's often management operational costs of these holding companies, you know, typically incur these operational expenses, you know, which reduces return to shareholders. And also not favored often, you know, sort of not particularly liked either, you know, when you have large management companies that often pay their own management fees off their own sort of value of assets, etc. I mean, I'd argue, Simon, that I mean, Rainet is what it does hold. It's certainly sold down the majority of British American Tobacco. It's not the main player anymore. That Penn's Corp is very interesting, though, too. I mean, there was someone, a rumor of someone sniffing around and taking it as well. I mean, I actually think, you know, it's probably not far off an NAV of just under 40% what the other one's done. And if I can just add as well, you know, the old favorite with regards to Naspers and Prosus, I mean, that management team has tried to shut that discount using every trick in the book, you know, for years, and it also can't quite get it. So it's just the market does what it does, and these things do trade at discounts. I think they're going to keep that way.
So then it really is a case of looking through to the assets, and as you say, the Penn Corp, very
correct,
interesting. British American Tobacco, I mean, an industry which I think we can politely say is on its way out, but it still pays a chunky sterling dividend.
It does. It does. Look, I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, I'll be upfront. You know, just as you said it, I don't think it'll be around in its particular shape at the moment, the next 10, 20 years, but still paying a decent dividend. But then, you know, the problem you've got with that was been the argument for years, but it's a difficult argument when you're getting 5-6% in hard currency to yields as well in a cash account. So, you know, not as convincing as it might have been a few years ago, but nevertheless, still decent. Yield. But again, this pivot back to that Penn's Corp, that does, it is a very interesting business. That's paid a maiden dividend recently, and it wasn't that insubstantial. I think it was about 51 in sterling also, which is a big, big number. So that's certainly helping. I do think also that there's going to be a little bit of pressure to start, especially with what we're seeing in SA Inc. We're seeing a lot of sort of corporate action happening. I do think there's going to be some pressure on the family to start doing something substantial.
Yeah, I take your point. And then a quick last question. CrowdStrike on Friday. What would you... I'm a shareholder there. I just put my head under my pillows and hoped it went away. It's a tough space to be. It was a disaster. The question is, we don't know if this is long-term or if CrowdStrike survives it and comes out fine the other side.
Well, you got to think. First and foremost, let's be honest. It wasn't some sort of malicious hack or a cyber attack. So, let's put that one to bed. But nevertheless, I do think, though, these companies involved, whoever was involved in this, and CrowdStrike does take a hit. The stock was down about 10%, but off its lows, almost 20 at one point. I would say, though, these sort of things do spook customers, Simon. The stock does look vulnerable. It's been growing extremely rapidly. It's doubled its market cap over the last 12 odd months. I just think you got to be a little bit cautious. The market does punish these things, and let's see how the next few days pan out. As far as I understand, it's not over yet. In fact, a little bit closer to home, the lady behind me just walked in and just said she's got the blue screen of death at the moment. So it's still going on.
And of course, the lawyers haven't even got involved yet, and there's going to be some lawyers. We'll leave it there. Nkunza Sanlam, Private Wealth. Always appreciate the early morning insights. And our poll today is around that discount to NAV on the Rainet Investments. Does a discount offer opportunity? Perhaps you like it. Perhaps it's, as Nick says, discounts don't necessarily always close. Have your say, have your vote, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Calista, CEO of Karooooo. We had results for the quarter ending March. Saw earnings per share up 41%, an interim dividend of 108, and that, of course, is US cents. Zach, appreciate the time today. Before we get into numbers, the big story on Friday, your results came out. There was the CrowdStrike update, which bricked computers the world over. Did that have any impact on your operations?
No, Simon, we weren't affected. Obviously, some of our customers were, but we as a company were not affected by that.
That must be, apparently it was literally just a line of code. For a IT operation such as yourself, it must be a worst nightmare. You can do all the QA in the world and the redundancy, but sometimes something just goes wrong, I guess.
I think it can happen. I think it can happen to anyone, actually, quite frankly.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
You take all the provisions that you can think of, but, it's never perfect.
Yeah, I've deployed live software in a stockbroker environment, and it worked every time except for once, and I will never forget that. Worst 36 hours of my life. Let's move to the numbers. A strong set of numbers, another record set of numbers. Cartrack subscribers up 17%. Net additions up 88%. You're past 2 million Cartrack subscribers. A really strong quarter, and this coming on a strong quarter for the end of the financial year as well. This is the first quarter of the new year.
Yes, our first quarter was really good, and we also had a very strong second quarter. So if you look on our website, you'll see we surpassed 2.1 million subscribers already. So it's proving to be a good first quarter and a good first 5 months.
Are you picking up market share in the South African environment? I'm fairly sure I've asked you that question before, but I look out at an economy which is struggling and vehicle sales which are doing even more poorly, and it looks like market share gains.
I think we are getting market share from our peers, but I think fundamentally it's also our value proposition is getting stronger and stronger. What we deliver in our platform today, it really is a no-brainer that every single company in South Africa should be on our platform. For what we charge and what we give the customers and how we assist them to build their businesses and to digitalize their businesses and to really make the make them make life easy for them to run their business. It really is a no-brainer. So I believe that we will continue getting momentum out of the South African market.
And this is what you and I have been chatting about for many years, the amount of data that you have and the way you're then able to present it to your customers, to your corporates, who then, frankly, are able to be more efficient to their business.
You know, our data is invaluable. We've got so much data from so many sectors, and this data and all the learnings that we've got over the years just makes it much easier for us to be able to deliver real value to our customers.
Is there a sense, and obviously you've got your forward guidance in the results, that is very strong. You're sitting on a giant cash pile. You've got strong momentum. You could continue and potentially even pick up and grow at a faster rate.
We can grow at a faster rate, but obviously one of the bottlenecks in South Africa for us has been we haven't had office space,
mm-hmm.
Which that's been resolved now in September. And, Simon, in any business, it's always very difficult to build talent, you know. You've got to find them, then you've got to train them, mm-hmm. You've got to have the patience to get the staff to a certain level. And it really takes a lot to build a great team.
Yeah, that of course, that new office, the one down there in the corner of Turret and Jan Smuts in Rosebank. I want to switch quickly to delivery as a service. Still very small, but absolutely growing. And again, here, this is more than just a courier company, you know, with a driver and a truck. This again is, I think you call it delivery as a service. This is high-end data again.
So that business really is to take our enterprise customers, our large corporate customers, and to help them with their e-commerce operations.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is a lot of the last mile delivery companies, the consumers talk to their app, and they, from their app, they talk to the businesses. And obviously, what a lot of businesses are wanting is they don't want to go through a third-party app to get orders, because otherwise they lose control of the, you know, whose menu is the consumer going to see. So it's really a business aimed at B2B. It's aimed at large enterprise customers. And it's, I believe, creating real value for all our customers.
How many large enterprise customers do you have these days?
Well, we've got quite a lot. I haven't got them on my list now, but I think we probably have in excess of 300.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is quite chunky. That's still a relatively new business. Share buybacks have been a part of the career for the last little while. Is that something, again, you've got a significant cash pile? The share is certainly looking cheap from our perspective. Share buybacks still something on the agenda potentially?
Well, it potentially can be, but it's extremely difficult under the American SEC rules to buy shares. It's not like the JSE. Mm. So it makes it extremely difficult to buy. The share price is looking a little bit better. I still believe there's a tremendous, it's still cheap, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think fundamentally one of the things that we are looking for is to increase over time, the share price, so that we can increase liquidity, because that's certainly one of the ways to increase liquidity.
I take your point. And I mean, you are your cash needs, and I appreciate you, your talent is certainly a big cost for you, but you're not a capital intensive business in any sense either. I mean, this is software. You don't have, you know, trucks on the road and the like. Those are your clients' challenges.
Yeah, so we've got a very sort of, I think our, if you look at our balance sheet, it's asset-light balance sheet. And a lot of the assets that we see on it is actually just PPE. It's working capital that's sitting on acquiring our customers. So it's PPE that gets depreciated. So it's really is an asset-light balance sheet.
We'll leave it there. Zak Calisto, CEO, Karooooo. Appreciate the time.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Bianca Bortis, director at Citadel Global. Bianca, appreciate the time. Iran has moved from sort of worrying about our future. Around the formation of a coalition government, there were some fairly strong moves. Then we got a coalition government and the Rand is still volatile, but kind of settled around the 18. But now it's almost worried about global politics, perhaps particularly the US in the light of the attempted assassination on President candidate Trump over the weekend. And of course, the Republican Congress that's ongoing this week.
Yes, so we've seen the Rand actually settle quite nicely. We've seen some erosion of risk premium that was previously priced into the Rand. And that's given us the opportunity to really settle around about this 18 Rand mark, as you mentioned. While some volatility has now left the market from a local perspective, we have over the past 2 weeks actually seen quite a bit of uptick in volatility once again, especially around short-term events such as the US debates, the likelihood of President Trump becoming president again. And that's really stirred up some conversations in the market around inflation, interest rates, what tariffs will mean for the US and the global economy moving forward. And currency markets are actually keeping quite a close eye on that to determine the future and what we can expect as a result of these upcoming elections.
A Trump victory would generally expectation would be a larger deficit, perhaps certainly import tariffs, potential for not necessarily higher inflation, but sticky inflation. Is that good or bad for the US dollar and ultimately for the Rand?
Well, ultimately, when we start looking at the US and we start talking about sticky inflation or higher inflation, we talk about tariffs that we know historically have driven up inflation in countries that have deployed these protectionist policies, larger trade deficits. We start looking at an environment where terminal rates and interest rates need to be higher for longer. And that is supportive of the underlying currency. So that would mean that the dollar would actually have the ability to remain at elevated levels for longer periods of time. It also speaks to a little bit more of a more fragmented economic environment or geopolitical environment, where the world maybe doesn't get along as nicely as they used to or that they should be able to get along at. And that actually has like repercussions for your emerging markets as well. And you can actually see the Rand come under pressure as a result of a stronger dollar, as well as that geopolitical fragmentation and uncertainty that's around these policies.
Are we almost returning to currency wars? Everyone wanted a currency in the right place to support, depending whether they were an import or an export economy.
Absolutely. I think the world is transitioning into a more populist arena, and everybody seems to be out there for themselves at the moment, and global trade is becoming more and more under threat. I think also as a result of that, you are seeing countries thinking ahead, but if the US does this, how do we respond to this? If China does this, how do we respond to this? And they actually try to protect themselves against events that could potentially never even take place. And that has a knock-on effect in financial markets.
What about Jerome Powell? We've got a Fed FOMC later this month. Expectation is nothing will happen. But certainly at some point, maybe September, maybe November, maybe as late as a December meeting, the Federal Reserve will start to cut rates. Will that have impact? I mean, we've been sitting at these high rates for close to 2 years now.
Yeah, so what we need to remember is that currency in the longer term takes its cues from interest rate differentials, inflation differentials, commodity prices, trade balances, and all those fundamental elements actually play a role in determining the fair value of an underlying currency. When we start looking at interest rates cuts in the US, and as you mentioned, Jerome Powell will likely move to cut those rates towards the end of the year, we can expect the Rand to benefit from a decrease in rates in the US. Basically, what will happen is the moment that the Fed cuts rates, the US dollar should unwind some of its premiums that are currently priced into the US dollar, and the Rand will benefit from that weakening of the US dollar. The question, I think, surrounding, you know, when we start looking at Trump economics is really how long would those interest rates, let's say, be at the reduced levels and how much will they be reduced by should we start entering an environment where inflation could become sticky under President Trump?
In some cases, and certainly if we look at the short term, in some cases, the Rand is almost easy in the sense that it is a good old fashioned supply and demand. If people want to buy our bonds or our equities and they're foreigners, first they need to buy our Rand. But then, of course, it becomes massively complicated because it's trying to work out what that sentiment is in the short term, hence volatility/noise.
Yes, what we also need to remember is that the rand acts as a proxy oftentimes for other emerging market currencies that are perhaps not as liquid. And often we see a lot of volatility in the rand merely because of it acting as a proxy and not necessarily because of a positive or negative view on South Africa per se. This week, for instance, was actually quite an interesting example where the rand weakened about 1.5% against the dollar, but our bond yields didn't shoot up in conjunction with the weakening of the rand. The bond yields actually stayed steady, which is a bit of an anomaly when you start saying, okay, but if the rand is weakening, that means there's more risk in the market, therefore bond yield should be higher. So it's important to look at the rand in context and relative to its peers and not just in isolation as the proxy for South Africa.
Yeah, 100%. And to your earlier point, if we park commodity prices aside, I mean, we saw in 2021 with the elevated PGM gold, I mean, every commodity price went up and Iran strengthens markedly. And that's just a factor of having to essentially be selling dollars, buying rands as they repatriate the cash. But the bigger picture is that inflation interest rate slash differential is why our rand will, over the long term, always weaken against the dollar. As long as that remains in place, we will have a higher inflation and a higher interest rate.
That's correct.
So that's why we want the good governor to bring our interest rates down even further. We'll leave it there. Bianca Bortus, Director, Citadel Global. Always appreciate the insights. That's it for today. We're chatting with Alex Dace on Friday. Updates from Anglo American Kumba and Anglo Platinum. Anglo Platinum results due this morning. We asked you, how did you rate the numbers? Almost half said a mixed bag, and that was certainly what Alex was suggesting. We're split between better than expected and some of you saying horror show. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.